Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another fruitful episode, fruitful of knowledge. We drop it, gems. We drop knowledge here. Man, all kinds of kiwis, apples? Mangoes.
Pomegranates?
Kiwi angles.
Oh, geez.
That's a cross-pollinate. My name is Dan. Keep up with me on Twitter and on IG at I Am Dan on Drugs. Keep up with the most racist podcast out here. Man, I'm a
you gonna beat that horse
all man into the ground at Black Law Podcast on all social media. And if you will, please leave us a review saying great things about us.
Yeah. And only great things.
Yes, please. And I'm just Dan, because you know, we can sue anybody for anything, even leaving a jacked up review. I'm just Dan. And you can follow me on Twitter at I Tell Legal Lies. And man, look. Dan might be racist, maybe even Beck, but I'm the least racist person I know.
Man, probably looking up at, that dude was looking up there into the darkness. He was like, I'm the least racist person in this room. And the lady was, what was her name? The Indian chick.
She's not Indian.
Who that?
That was Kristen, a black lady?
Yeah, she's mixed.
Oh, your girl. Yeah, what about her? Man. CNN chick.
Yeah, I thought she
She's
was
an NBC political correspondent.
You said Christian.
That Kristen, that, yeah. Christian.
I thought she was on, oh no, she is on NBC. That's yeah, right, because Kristen she'd be on the Welker. Today. She'd be on the Today Show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, mm-hmm, you're right.
So, ladies and gentlemen, we have a rare sighting in 2020.
Wow.
This is really rare. Like, I'm telling you, first we got COVID, and then the Fat Boys break up. And
wait, the Fat Boy break up?
Yeah,
broke up in 2020?
Every day I wake up. Yeah, somebody got something to say.
No.
Ma'am, will you please reintroduce yourself to the listeners?
Let her
What's
introduce
up, listeners?
Herself.
This is Afro Becky.
Her name is Becky, pronounced with an
B E-C. To the E-C. So today, what we are going to discuss is actually, it's a local case, and I'm not fully up on it. It is Quan Charles.
Right.
Look at that.
Quan Charles. And you, we did an episode a while back about police racial violence. Oh, shit. Not just racial violence. Jesus. Police racial bias when it comes to missing children of color. And this case highlights basically everything we talked about in that episode. When I saw it, and, you know, when I heard about it and I started reading the information about it, my mind immediately snapped back to that episode, because in that episode, we talked about how more often than not, no Amber Alerts. We talked about the way that police actually questioned parents of
black parents.
And brown,
uh-huh.
You know, black and brown children, basically as if they were culprits, not victims. So in this particular case, and this happened in rural Louisiana, in small town right outside of Lafayette,
Lafayette for some of my northerners.
Shut up. Young man at home at his father's home, 15 years old. Apparently, what the parents later find out is he was picked up by a Caucasian boy, 17 years old, and that boy's mother.
Schoolmate.
Supposedly. Taken to their home. This was on October 30th. Well, 3 days later, Quan Charles is found dead in behind sugarcane field. Thing is, parents.
Wait, behind or in?
Well, like. In some water behind the sugarcane field is what I believe his location was finally discovered to be. But in the interim, as I said, parents actually called the sheriff and reported him missing. Sheriffs arrive, and instead of, you know, trying to figure out what could be going on if he was a victim of foul play, they set about asking the questions that the police most often than not ask parents of color, was the child troubled? Did he have a history of running away from home? You know, basically whatever. And then some reports, and I've read this in several of the newspaper articles, they basically told the parents, he's probably at a football game. So you've called the police because your son is missing. And the police tell you without any investigation that your child is probably at a football game. That's a red flag. That tells you that they're not taking your concerns seriously.
And by chance, when did this occur?
October
30th is when he went missing. They found him November the 3rd. So as I said, police were very nonchalant about the situation. They were not transparent at all. They still have not been very forthcoming with information. They did not issue an Amber Alert for this 15-year-old missing person. Supposedly, so they tell the parents that they entered Quan into the Amber Alert system, but it was the responsibility of state police that actually issued the Amber Alert. Well, a spokesperson for Louisiana State Troopers basically said they never received any indication that there was a missing child. Mm-hmm. So
and going back to, okay, I'm reading a comment from the family's attorney. So, yeah, they did say he's probably at a football game. Mm-hmm. He's probably mm-hmm. with some friends mm-hmm. and even told his mother, Roxanne, don't worry about it. Mm-hmm. He'll show up.
Mm-hmm.
And
so, like I said, all of that tells you that they were very disinterested in looking for this child and they did not look for him.
What the attorney calls it is collective indifference.
Basically, because think about it. Then the young man had a cell phone. So any of us who have cell phone knows that we could be tracked by them. The police did not ping his cell phone until 3 days later. Now, if you were actively looking for him and you know he has a cell phone and you think to ping it 3 days later, wouldn't you have thought to ping it that first day?
So his was kind of interesting, too. So Quan has been missing. He had been missing for 3 days mm-hmm. before somebody, one of his friends mentioned that they saw him in a car with a white lady and her teenage son.
Uh-huh.
And if you know that people are looking for Quan for 2 days, a day even, why 3 days later?
Right. And see, that's the thing. I'm more than sure somebody told that to the cops prior to, because if they were actually searching, this is a small town.
Mm-hmm.
If you were searching for him, like I said, you would have pinged his cell phone. You would have went to the neighbors and asked whether or not you saw him and who you saw him with. You know enough now to go and actually speak to this white lady and her son 3 days later. But it seems to me that that's actually when they started investigating.
And the mother of the son did admit to picking Quan up to go hang out,
mm-hmm.
but she doesn't know what happened after that. And interesting thing that, well, the attorney points out is that neither Quan's mother or father had ever met this 17-year-old mm-hmm. or his mother.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say that's not too uncommon.
With children and yeah. some of their friends. Right. Well, what strikes me as odd, reading the story about the mother and her son, you picked him up from his house and brought him to yours, right? But when it was time for him to leave, according to the 17-year-old, Quan just got up and said he was leaving and he left.
Let's back up for a second.
Mm-hmm.
So you pick up this child.
Mm-hmm.
And wouldn't you be therefore responsible for his care? And I mean, this is a child.
You would think.
So who gave you permission to pick up this child?
That's something else. They did not have permission. Let me jump in here.
First question is, wouldn't you be responsible for that child? Technically, yes. But I can say that as a former teenager myself, I've jumped in cars with my friends, people, and let any of them tell it, they are not, I'm not responsible for it. That's not my kid. I don't need, man, nah.
Right. But,
so
but
sometimes.
I'm yeah. talking about in the eyes of the law.
Well, in the eyes of the law.
So technically, let's explore that. So someone is in your care and they get injured. Say they're injured at your home. You're technically responsible for them, right? If someone is on your property and they're injured, that's one thing. You,
even though the person stuck their finger into the outlet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. That's just, see, we talk about attractive nuisances. Remember we had a show about that and we spoke about that, i.e. swimming pools. So someone comes on your property because you have a swimming pool and they decide to swim and they injure themselves. You're responsible because you have an attractive nuisance. So your pool attracts people. It is a nuisance because people can kill or injure themselves. So as I said, anybody on your property, injured on your property, you're responsible. You can be held responsible for it. Now, in this particular situation, parents don't know the lady, did not give the lady permission to pick him up, but she did. And then she brought him to her home. So for me, I can make an argument.
That she kidnapped the kid?
The mother, look, that can be one argument.
That's what it sounded like to me.
The mother actually wants her to be prosecuted because, as she said, neither her or the father gave this woman permission to pick her child up, to take her child anywhere. So, I mean, when you want to start talking legalities, you know, an argument can be made for that. Further, as I said, as far as, you know, we're talking about racial bias in police force, in a police force, from what I can understand, there's been a lot of static among people of color and law enforcement in that town because the police force is largely Caucasian, right? So, and you know, we say it all the time. And the reason why we say it is because for the most part, it's been borne out to be true. Had this been a 15-year-old white kid, everybody would have been scrambling. We see it time and again.
Yeah, 3 days. I can understand with any teenage child, I can understand giving it a day. Be, what do you call it, passively looking for them?
I don't even understand giving it a date. But as we said in that episode, you don't have to wait 24 hours.
Nah. I mean, no, definitely call the authorities. But what I'm saying is not to be alarmed for the first day. We're talking teenage
baby,
kids.
In this day and age,
ain't no different than when you was a teenager.
No,
I was
it
a
is
teenager.
Different.
It's not.
Yes, it is.
No,
it really is. Like, there are things that went on when I was a teenager that has escalated now.
No, you're only hearing about it more now because the way we get our news now, the way we get information.
No, well, that may be true to an extent, but if you look at statistics, and of course we know that we can make statistics say anything they want to say, because I actually, in relation to this, I started looking at hate crimes,
mm-hmm.
and instances thereof. They're on the rise, and
that's across the board, though.
Drastically.
That's
right.
Across the board, adult, juvenile, whatever.
But like I said, drastically from
let's explore that. Are they really?
Yes.
And
according to statistics,
when I say are they really? Racism hasn't disappeared. Racial race-based crimes haven't disappeared.
Yeah, the thing is, it's not like we've just started tracking them. We've been, you know, the government has been tracking these things for a long time.
Well, you gotta prove. What do we say? Prove intent or prove
racial bias?
Yeah.
Prove that. And speaking of, since we're talking about hate crimes, October was the 11th, I believe, was 2020. Yep, the 11th anniversary of this act that President Obama signed into law. It's called, let me get it for you.
It is called the First Step Act.
You stupid.
Let me tell you, people. No. So, I don't think anything from when I was a teenager until now has changed.
I think there's a difference.
I think you hear about it more. Just like the number of black men being killed by the police.
There's been an increase in that, too.
I think it's about the same. We're just hearing about it. Because, like, we look at a Walter Scott. We wouldn't have heard about that back in the 90s. And that, well, I was a baby in the 80s, but we wouldn't have heard about it back then.
Well, we heard about a lot of stuff. But, I mean, it's just, I think.
I know people who still hadn't heard about Rodney King.
Oh, wait, what?
I'm talking about in the 90s.
What, people still hadn't heard about Rodney King?
I know people, black people, that had never heard
about
Rodney King.
But see, that's because them people weren't woke. You know, your people weren't woke.
Man.
Anyway, so what I was referring to was the Matthew Shepard, James Beard Jr. Hate Crimes Prevention Act. So 11 years ago in October, President Obama signed this act into law, and it basically added. So Lyndon Johnson was the president that actually signed into law the first hate crime law. So every so often, you know, they have things added to the law. Well, in 2009, President Obama signed into law what I just said, the Shepard Beard Act, basically adding things to this hate crime law. So what it added was crimes based on gender, identity, sexual orientation, and disability, I believe it was.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. So it actually also made it easier for the federal government to prosecute the perpetrators of hate crimes.
And we did a whole episode on hate crimes. And in Louisiana, what a hate crime does is adds an additional $500 to your fine that you have to pay.
Yeah.
But
well,
I don't see it that way, because at one point I would have said, man, shit's crazy out here now. It's crazy out here because you're getting all kinds of alerts left and right on your phone, right? But we had that hurricane a couple weeks ago, and I lost my internet, lost my phone service, and I wasn't even getting information. You remember that, Becky? And we had to listen to the radio for the first time in probably forever. Since the 90s.
And you weren't getting any information?
Yeah. So, and I kept screaming. I'm screaming at the people on the radio. I'm like, yo, the fuck is y'all talking about? Where is the storm? Where is the storm? Like in relation to the city. And they want to talk about old hurricanes. They want to talk about where to get sandbags. Where is, and I'm like, this is one of those times where I would have been like, where is the storm?
That's why you need a weather radio.
That is a weather radio.
Man, you need it. You have an NOAA certified.
Now you know how many
radio
bands is on that bitch? It's like, so anyway, I say that to say we're so used to getting our information quick alerts. Man, look at that shit right there. Look, ladies and gentlemen.
There's only three.
Well, one's,
and two of them, one of them is Instagram.
One, two, three, four. So it's four of them.
Instagram. But anyway.
Again, so I can see how it can look like shit's on the rise when in reality it's the same as ever.
No,
we're
see,
just so used to getting things quickly.
I didn't say I was basing my what my statement on alerts that I receive. I said statistically. And of course we know statistics can be made to say
right,
anything
but before
we want them
then,
to say. But
you made the assertion that
I ascertained
that, oh, it's crazy out here being a teenager now. Oh, it's way worse.
I said I think it's exacerbated. Like the things that we did come up against some things, but teenagers in 2020, there's a whole slew of things that they deal with that were not so prevalent. Let me say that. They were there, but I don't think they were as prevalent.
Give me some
such
examples.
Such as cyberbullying.
Okay, cyberbullying.
We didn't have to deal with that.
That's some soft nigga shit. They're really? Bullying me on the internet.
Really?
Turn your really? Fucking phone off.
Why do you have so many teens committing suicide?
I was about to say, they kill themselves.
Let me tell you, let me tell you something. The day, see, we had to deal with this shit, ladies and gentlemen, called real bullying.
They deal with that as well.
Bullshit.
Yes, they do.
Them kids don't even leave the house.
Let me tell
more.
You something. If a child is being cyberbullied, 9 times out of 10, they are being physically bullied as well. Because bullies take it everywhere now. I'm going to get you in person. I'm going to get you on Facebook, on Instagram, on Snapchat. Anywhere that I can find you and humiliate you, I will put it out there.
Okay. So, again, turn your fucking phone off.
I don't have to.
Log the thing off is, of the wait, internet. Watch this.
It doesn't have to be. I don't have to see it personally. All I have to do is step into school for somebody to say, oh, we saw your ass on Snapchat and such and such and such. People tell you what's going on.
And again, now that would be no different than when we were kids.
Yeah, but the thing is,
you're just adding the social media aspect.
Correct. And that adds the world, because I can, you know, I am limited by the number of people that I could speak to about something. If I put it on Facebook and I have 10,000 followers, now 10,000 people, I've done that in a touch of a button. So 10,000. It's bigger.
But it's 10,000 people that don't fucking matter.
Well, see, they may not matter to you, but to a 12-year-old girl, lots of things matter that don't matter to you. To a 12-year-old boy, lots of things matter that may not matter to you.
So, we would have to bring into parenting then into this conversation. If your 12-year-old, like the opinions of a whole bunch of just random people that they don't know on the internet matters, I would have to question that. Like, I don't know. I just social media bullying.
Agree.
That's
we
not a thing.
We agree to disagree. But so taking it back to what we were saying about hate crimes. So the law that President Obama signed into law, the law that he actually signed, made it easier for the federal government to prosecute perpetrators of hate crimes. And as I said, I brought that up because this thing with Kawan Charles brought me back to, because they're calling him the Emmett Till of 2020. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how many of you actually saw the picture that was circulating on the internet, but it was pretty bad.
Actually, I'm going to say most people probably haven't, because it's a case that is it is receiving national attention now, but not at the rate a JonBenet Ramsey or whoever.
Correct. But it's been in the Washington Post. It's been all over TMZ. I mean,
even
it's
then,
been,
I can tell you how many times I've seen about this story until you said something
once
today.
Once or twice, probably.
Once, until you said something today.
And once again, and that goes back to what we were saying about racial bias.
Right.
And how this happened to this young man, far be it, or, you know, it was in a rural part of Louisiana, but had this been a Caucasian girl, you would have seen this thing every day. It would have been out there. As
they would have had the damn people, what do they call it? The volunteer committees where they go canvass the entire fucking city.
It would
city.
Have been the very first day. They would have had the dogs out. Everything would have been the full weight of the sheriff's office would have been placed on trying to find this person.
Here's the thing, too. Like, just thinking, again, regular Joe, not a cop, but if a parent were to call and say, yo, my child's missing, haven't seen him, whatever, one of the first things I would do is let's check with the school, because it was on October 30th, day before Halloween, so that was a weekday. Mm-hmm. Let's check with the school. Hit the school. Yo, was this student in attendance? What time did they leave? Da, 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 da. And let's work from there. But
I'm saying,
they didn't even
canvass the neighborhood. They didn't even do that.
Yeah.
That's the thing. They didn't. But according to them, they did everything that they could do, but they didn't. Because as I said earlier, they didn't ping his cell phone that first day. They did not send out anything to get the state troopers to issue an Amber Alert. I mean, even if it was just the child may be in danger, which is less than an Amber Alert, they didn't do any of that. And the parents, the family's lawyers, all of them, because NAACP is involved in this.
ACLU.
The ACLU is involved in this. They have all other sorts of civil rights groups involved in this. They have about four lawyers that have volunteered to help this family because all of it smacks of racial bias in policing. And, you know, it's not just, as one of the lawyers says, it's not just stopping us because they see the color of our skin. It's not seeing our children as they see their children. You know, our children are expendable.
And also our children, when you look at them, I forget the years, but they're often, a 13-year-old boy is looked at as, oh, he has to be 19, 20 years old. Like they add 5, 6, 7 years because, again, this is, since we're talking statistics, there is a study, and I forget what it's called, but most white people see black youths as much older than they really are, which often leads to things like you look at Tamir Rice or whatever, things like that.
So racial, that is racial bias. So going back to Quan Charles seems to me to have been a victim of a hate crime. That's what the case smacks of to me.
So and why would he get in the car with, do you think that the two boys were friends or friendly?
Well, that is what their parents are saying, even his parents, because supposedly the 17-year-old gave him a dog. And the daddy said that he's allergic to dogs, but his son loved the dog so much that when the dog was presented to him, he was like, okay. And he said that was one thing that kind of struck him as odd because his son and that dog went everywhere together except like school stuff.
Wait, so the white kid gave him the dog.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But aren't we saying that the parents don't know who he is or that he even existed?
I don't think they didn't know that he existed. I don't think they knew the level of their friendship. But supposedly, that's who he got the dog from. The dog that he had came from this 17-year-old boy. So they know that they were friendly. I just don't think that the dad knew enough about him and his mom to be comfortable with him going to the boy's house or whatever. But for all we know, he probably had been at this boy's house more than once. It's just at this particular time, you know, like I said, it just all the pieces don't fit for me. Something about this really has my spidey senses tingling. Because even if, you know, they're saying that he drowned. OK, how did he drown, though?
OK, so let's get there because we hadn't talked about the coroner's report or the there was a private autopsy that leaked,
right?
And the cause of death was reportedly at least drowning.
Mm-hmm.
So I can tell you something about country kids. Them motherfuckers can do a lot of shit. Water don't, like us northerner black folks, you know, we might not know how to swim that well, some of us, but man, motherfuckers in the country and people in California.
Water don't
they,
scare.
Yeah,
water
they know how to scare. Swim. They be fishing and shit. They be like doing all
see,
kinds of
and
water
the thing
activities.
Is, a witness who actually helped search for him said that where he was found, the water was ankle deep. Tell me how you drown in ankle deep water.
Easy, with somebody's knee on your neck and holding your face.
Correct. See, and that's why I'm saying, like, yeah, he drowned. Yeah, he had water in his lungs. But what'd he do? Like, he went through he was 25 miles away from his house. He walked 25 miles away from his house. Walked into the cane field and put his face down in the water and stayed there.
Mm-hmm.
And also, Doesn't he have contusions and abrasions to his face?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was just about to say is, so the coroner states that his death was likely drowning and there was muddy water found in his airways. Mm-hmm. The coroner also attributed the scratches and wounds on his face to the aquatic animal activity.
Yes.
And said that the boy had not sustained these injuries before his death. Funny thing is, as I continue to read, they don't know when he died. So how can you
say,
let's use the word ascertain again. Mm-hmm. How can you ascertain that these injuries took place after he died when you can't
don't
say
know
he died
when he died?
When he died.
Mm-hmm.
And then on top of that, like I saw some of the injuries and there was some inflammation.
Lacerations.
Right. I can see how a laceration could be caused after death.
By a fish? Let's
just look at it, like, take the story at face value. I can see you can be cut after death or whatever.
Wait, by a fish?
Yeah, by them knife-wielding fish.
The fish cut you.
You ever play Mario? But the pictures show a lot of inflammation. I'm not so sure. I'm not a medical person, but I'm not so sure that after you're dead, your body has an inflammation response.
I don't know, but I know, well, if you were face down in water, you might
puff
have
up from,
bloat.
Yeah.
Right. But like I'm saying, the pictures that I saw, you know, the picture that I saw, the information from the coroner just doesn't jive for me. Like I said, none of this stuff makes sense. And the fact that, you know, the sheriff's department and the police department in this town, Baldwin, Louisiana, folks, they're, you know, Iberia Parish Sheriff's Office. Look them up. They're saying, you know, we are diligently pursuing this and we're diligently gathering evidence and all this other stuff. You didn't diligently do anything.
So from the date that he was reported missing to the date that his body was found,
mm-hmm.
was that what, a month?
No, it was 3 days. They did not speak. They did not interview the woman and her son until hours before his body was found.
Mm.
Right?
Mm.
That's one. As I said, they didn't ping his phone until the day that his body was found. That's how they knew where to look for him at. They did that the day that his body was found.
So the level of trauma to his face,
mm-hmm.
was caused by aquatic life over a possibly three-day period?
Don't know.
He is missing his mouth in these pictures.
Mm-hmm.
He's got lacerations and like you can literally, I'm looking at the picture now if you want to come take a look, Becky, but you can literally see his teeth.
Mm-hmm.
He has no fucking lips.
Mm-hmm. On one side of his face.
And yeah, and up here towards the top of his forehead, there's a big gash. And
correct.
That don't look like no fucking aquatic
animal. Right. Yeah. I can see, you know, if you see ragged edges, maybe fish nibbled on him. But that is like a gash. That's like something hit him and cut his forehead open. Like
maybe he encountered an alligator.
Nah,
and with an alligator's an aquatic life.
Would have ate him. So, but like I said, ankle deep water. That's what the witness said when he was helping to search. Where they found him at, ankle deep water. And to quote the young man, it's improbable that he drowned in this ankle deep water.
Man, so we're going to see what happens with this. And as we said in previous episodes, if your child is missing or anybody's missing, there's no 24-hour wait period.
Mm-mm.
Call and report them missing as soon as you know that they're missing.
And be the squeaky wheel. Be the squeaky wheel. I don't care what you have to do. I feel for the Brown family because, as I said, this smacks of indifference, smacks of racial bias for me.
I go as far as to say that the police know what happened to mm-hmm. them and they're helping or attempting to help
cover it up. And that is one of the lawyers for the family. He alluded to that because as he was saying, you know, there is enmity between people of color and the sheriff's department in this town and in this parish, because as I said earlier, the police force is largely white and the inhabitants. Well, not that they're largely black, but the black and brown inhabitants are the ones who more often than not are actually abused by the police in this parish, in this place.
That's so pretty much America standard, 2020. Right? Yeah.
That's standard.
So, I'm wondering if this mother of the 17-year-old had some type of connection to the police department, maybe a relative.
Well, they now can't even find them. They tried because, like, I want to say I read that maybe a week after this happened, U-Haul, they lived in a trailer park. U-Haul rolled up to the
trailer.
They
did it.
They got evicted. So U-Haul rolled up to the trailer and they were gone with the wind. Hmm. So the very fact that they let these people roll out, you know, that's something else that I take offense to.
Yeah, because, man, they be looking at black folks who are their net worth is negative, and they'd be like, you a flight risk.
Right, exactly. So, yeah. Right.
So anyway, ladies and gentlemen, this has been another episode with Afro. It's, you know what? Ain't nobody come to see you, Becky. Man, why? I watched that the other day. And
was it like you were laughing? Man, look, man, every time I watch
my
that,
shit.
It never gets old. It never gets old.
That dude, man, David Ruffin, that's my boy.
He's stupid.
So this is Afro Becky and the Black Law and Legalized podcast.
There you go.
My name is Dan. Keep up with me. All social media platforms, which is Twitter and IG at I Am Dan on Drugs. Keep up with the show. All social media platforms. That means all of them at Black Law Podcast. Don't forget, leave us a review.
Yes. And I'm just Dan. And you can follow me on Twitter at I Tell Legal Lies.
And tune in next time to see if Afro Becky shows up. This is Afro Becky.
Wow.